Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive. Today, we're inviting you into a world where everyday objects aren't just tools. They hold centuries of stories, really intricate craftsmanship, and, well, profound cultural significance.
Absolutely.
We're about to embark on a deep dive into something that seems simple, maybe, but is incredibly rich: tea brewing accessories.
That's right. Yeah, this deep dive, it's all about exploring that fascinating array of utensils people use to brew tea.
From the really old traditions spanning continents.
Exactly. All the way to the, you know, cutting edge innovations that are kind of shaping our tea rituals today.
And our mission here is, I guess, to uncover their hidden histories, understand their function, why they work the way they do.
And grasp their deep cultural importance, too. Yeah.
We want to show you how these tools, they don't just make your tea taste better, hopefully.
Hopefully.
But also how they reflect these deep-rooted traditions and also the groundbreaking innovations that have really shaped tea culture over centuries.
It's a huge history.
So as we dive in, maybe just pause for a second and think. How can something as familiar as a teapot actually be a cultural artifact?
That's a great question to start with. And with that thought, let's unpack the world of traditional tea brewing tools.
Okay.
Many of which aren't just old, they're really revered for what they bring to the whole tea experience.
Right. So when you picture tea, I mean, what's the first image that pops into your head? For most people, I bet it's the teapot.
It has to be, yeah.
But what makes it more than just a container, you think?
Well, that's a perfect starting point.
Mm-hmm.
The teapot is, it's so much more than a vessel. It really holds deep cultural meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And it embodies centuries of craftsmanship from all over the place. What's really striking is just how diverse it is culturally.
How so?
Well, in China, you find these classic ceramic teapots. Often they have really intricate designs, you know, reflecting cultural symbols, maybe historical stories. They're expressions of Chinese art.
Okay.
But then you go to Japan and you have these robust cast iron teapots, the tetsubin.
Ah, yes, the tetsubin.
Known for being super durable, holding heat incredibly well. They're often right at the center of traditional Japanese tea ceremonies.
That's quite a contrast, isn't it? Ceramic versus cast iron, and the skill involved, the craftsmanship, it must be, well, extraordinary.
Oh, absolutely. It really is. Artisans, they spend years, sometimes decades, perfecting their techniques.
Wow.
You know, from shaping the clay or the iron to the glazing, the firing. It's incredibly meticulous.
So each one is unique in a way.
Each teapot becomes a testament to the maker's skill and the whole tradition behind it. Think about the Yixing teapots from China's Jiangsu province.
Right, I've heard of those.
They're famous for being unglazed. And because of that, the clay actually absorbs the flavor and aroma of the tea over time.
So it gets better with use.
It genuinely enhances the tea experience with every single brew. It's not just a vessel. It often feels like a silent witness to generations of stories, you know?
Yeah.
Connecting past and present with every cup you share.
So their function isn't just about brewing right now, but how the material and shape actually change the tea's quality over time. That idea of the pot evolving with the tea is fascinating.
Precisely. Yeah, beyond just how they look, the material, the shape, the size, it's all carefully designed for the best brew.
Mm-hmm.
Ceramic, porcelain, glass, cast iron, they all have different properties affecting heat retention, how the tea brews.
And you mentioned rituals.
Oh, yes. Their role goes way beyond just holding hot water. The teapot often acts as a conduit for these profound rituals.
Like what?
Well, think of the calming sort of meditative effect of the tea ceremony in Japan.
Okay.
Or just the social bonding over tea in England. Maybe the spiritual significance in Chinese culture. It's central.
And often they become family heirlooms, right? Passed down generations.
Exactly. Connecting people across time, across geography, it really cements its place as a true cultural artifact.
It's a beautiful meeting point, isn't it? Craftsmanship, tradition, and the art of tea itself.
It really is a lovely intersection.
Okay, so from the venerable teapot, let's move to another Chinese marvel that seems to be getting really popular lately. The gaiwan.
Ah, the gaiwan.
Yes. It looks so simple, almost deceptive. What's its secret? How does it enhance the tea experience?
The gaiwan is, yeah, a traditional Chinese brewing vessel, and its popularity is definitely growing, mostly because of its elegant design and its unique way of enhancing the tea.
Where did it come from?
It originated in China back in the Ming Dynasty, so we're talking 14th to 17th centuries.
Wow, that old.
Oh, yeah. And it has three distinct parts. a base bowl, a lid, and a saucer, usually made from porcelain, which is actually pretty key to how it performs.
And why is that design so good for brewing different kinds of tea? You hear it's very versatile.
It's that wide, open bowl that's really the secret. It lets the tea leaves, especially bigger ones like oolongs or green teas, properly unfurl while they steep.
Ah, so they have room to breathe, essentially.
Exactly, and that releases their full flavor, their full aroma. This open design also gives you, the brewer, really precise control over steeping times.
Which is important, right? To avoid bitterness.
Critical, yeah. It prevents over-extraction, that potential bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows for multiple infusions from the same leaves. It's kind of a masterclass in transparency and control. You're like the choreographer guiding the leaves.
I've also heard that part of the appeal is actually seeing the tea leaves unfurl and dance in the water. It adds a visual element.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
When you steep tea in a gaiwan, you can watch the leaves move gracefully, see their color, their shape, their texture unfold.
That sounds lovely.
This visual spectacle really adds to the enjoyment. It's particularly valued in Chinese tea ceremonies, where aesthetics are a big deal.
Right.
Plus, that non-reactive porcelain material, it helps keep the tea's taste pure. So you can really appreciate the subtle notes, you know, from floral to earthy.
It's amazing how something so seemingly simple can carry so much history and offer such an intimate kind of brewing experience.
Indeed. It's a real testament to the artistry and the functionality built into Chinese tea culture.
Speaking of which, we absolutely have to talk more about the Yixin clay teapot. This one has a truly unique quality, doesn't it? Sets it apart.
It certainly does. The Yixin clay teapot from China's Jiangsu province. Well, it's revered for its very specific, unique properties.
Which come from the clay?
Exactly. The clay itself, it's called Zisha clay, and it's porous.
Porous, meaning it absorbs things.
Yes. It literally absorbs the flavor and aroma of the tea with each use. It gets seasoned over time.
So it really becomes like a partner in your tea journey, changing with every brew. Does that mean you should only use one type of tea in one pot?
That's exactly it. It becomes a kind of co-creator in your tea journey. It captures time and tradition in its porous clay. As you use it again and again, it develops what's called a patina inside.
A patina, like on old metal.
Sort of, yeah. It's a layer of tea oils and residues. And this buildup actually enriches the flavor of the next brew. It makes the tea more aromatic, more flavorful over time. And yes, you're right. It's generally recommended to dedicate a Yixin pot to just one type or category of tea, like a specific oolong or a puer, that lets the seasoning develop properly.
And the craftsmanship.
Exceptional.
Mm.
Artisans often train for years to perfect the skill, carefully shaping the clay for optimal brewing and, you know, aesthetic balance.
And they often look quite understated, don't they? The beauty seems to be in the subtle details, the form itself.
You're spot on. They're admired for this natural elegance. Simple, clean lines, earthy colors. It highlights the clay's own properties rather than relying on shiny glazes.
Right.
And beyond how they look, that porous clay, it also absorbs excessive tannins from the tea.
Tannins, those make tea bitter sometimes.
Exactly. So it results in a smoother, more balanced brew. That makes them particularly good for, say, delicate oolongs or puers, which can sometimes be a bit finicky.
Okay.
And culturally, it carries a rich heritage in China, favored by scholars, connoisseurs for centuries.
What really stands out is how the material itself contributes so much to the experience. It marries function and art in a way few other things do.
It's a very harmonious blend, yeah.
Yeah.
Elevating the whole tea drinking experience right from the material up.
All right, let's shift focus a bit now over to Japan and a really fundamental piece of their tea culture, the chawan, the Japanese tea bowl.
Chawan, yes.
This bowl is absolutely essential, especially when you're preparing matcha. How does its unique shape serve that specific function?
The chawan is designed very specifically for whisking matcha into that that distinct frothy consistency you want.
Right, the foam.
It's wide, shallow shape and large diameter. They give you plenty of space for the bamboo whisk to move freely and, well, effectively.
What are they usually made of?
Traditionally, ceramic or porcelain.
Mm.
And their beauty often lies in their simplicity, their understated elegance. Mm-hmm. You often see subtle glazes or just natural textures from the clay.
Is that where wabi-sabi comes in?
Precisely. This brings in that aesthetic concept of wabi-sabi, the idea of celebrating imperfection, transience. You often see it reflected in the chawan's subtly irregular shapes. Nothing is perfectly symmetrical.
So it's not just about mixing the tea efficiently, then. You mentioned wabi-sabi and mindfulness. How does using a chawan embody those ideas in the Japanese tea ceremony?
It's completely integral.
Yeah.
Using a chawan in Japanese tea ceremonies, it embodies principles of mindfulness, respect.
How so?
Well, the precise movements, the careful attention to detail as you hold the bowl, the focus on the present moment. It all reflects this harmonious connection between the brewer, the tea, and the tool itself.
And the design helps the final taste, too.
Oh, yes. The design allows for really thorough whisking. That creates the smooth, frothy texture, and it evenly distributes the powdered tea. Enhances the balance of flavor and texture in every sip. It really invites you to be present with the experience.
And to get that perfect froth, that perfect texture, you need another very specific tool, don't you? The bamboo whisk. The chasen.
The chasen. Absolutely crucial for preparing matcha properly.
Yeah, it looks so delicate.
It is. It's meticulously crafted, usually from a single piece of bamboo, shaped into these incredibly fine, delicate tines. Typically somewhere between 80 and 120, depends on the style.
This intricate design is really optimized for whisking matcha into that smooth, frothy consistency we were just talking about.
I've heard there's a very specific way you have to whisk it. Is it hard to learn?
It can take a little practice. To prepare matcha, you use this brisk back and forth motion, often called mochimugi, or maybe just the W motion.
A W motion.
Yeah, zigzagging quickly. This aerates the tea beautifully, creating that velvety texture, that creamy froth. And crucially, this aeration also helps release volatile compounds in the matcha, which significantly enhances its complex flavor profile. It makes it taste brighter, more alive.
Interesting. So it's not just about texture. Not at all. And beyond its function, the chasen holds deep cultural significance in Japanese tea ceremonies, the chunayu. Using it is seen as a meditative practice in itself. Symbolizes mindfulness, respect for craftsmanship.
And you have to look after them carefully, I imagine.
You do. Proper care is key. Rinsing with warm water after use, letting it air dry, and storing it on a special holder, a chasen tate, helps maintain its shape and its integrity for a long time.
So whether we're talking about the Yixing teapot, the Gaiwan, the Chouan, or the Chasen, these traditional tools, they're not just about brewing, are they?
Not at all.
They're about embodying centuries of cultural traditions and really inviting a much deeper appreciation for the whole tea experience.
They profoundly enhance the flavors and aromas, definitely, but they're also integral to centuries of tea ceremonies and rituals. They connect us to this incredibly rich heritage.
Okay, so that's the rich tapestry of tradition. Every detail seems to hold centuries of meaning, deliberate design. But what if your lifestyle demands something different, maybe more precision or just plain convenience?
Right. Life gets busy.
This is where modern innovation steps in, really revolutionizing how we brew sometimes. Let's talk about some of these advancements, starting with something many of us probably have in our kitchen already, electric kettles.
Electric kettles. Yeah, they've absolutely transformed the process. They offer both convenience, obviously, but also, crucially, precision.
How so? The precision part?
Well, many now come with adjustable temperature settings, so you can fine-tune the water temperature perfectly for different kinds of tea.
Right, because green tea needs lower temps than black tea.
Exactly. Delicate green leaves scorch easily, while a robust black tea needs hotter water. This precise control ensures you get the optimal brewing conditions.
Which directly impacts the fiber.
Directly enhances the flavor and aroma. You're extracting the right compounds, not burning the leaves or under-extracting.
That temperature control alone makes such a huge difference for tea quality. Something a basic stovetop kettle just can't do consistently.
Okay, and what about getting the leaves out of the cup once they've steeped? That can be messy. That's where modern infusers and strainers come in handy. You've got everything from stainless steel mesh baskets to silicone tea balls.
Those little fun-shaped ones.
Yeah, those too. These devices just simplify brewing, make it hassle-free, mess-free. They come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, fitting different mugs or pots.
Mm-hmm.
Some have extremely fine mesh, good for containing even tiny particles like rubos, ensures a smooth, leaf-free cup. Others are larger, designed to let big leaves unfurl properly.
So it's all about easy flavor extraction without the fuss.
Pretty much. Convenience is a major driver here. Brew quickly, cleanly.
And for people who want even more automation, what about things like dedicated tea makers or presses?
Right, automated tea makers and presses. They're really at the forefront of brewing convenience now. They streamline the whole process.
How do they work?
Well, they often have programmable settings, so you can customize brewing times, temperatures, steeping durations with incredible accuracy. Some even have preset programs.
Like a button for green tea.
Exactly. Press a button for green tea or oolong, and it brews it perfectly every time according to ideal parameters. Takes all the guesswork out, ensures every cup is brewed just right.
That sounds like a dream for consistent tea, especially on busy mornings. Yeah. Okay, and what about the tea lover who's always on the move, traveling, commuting?
For them, travel tea sets are the perfect solution. These are usually compact sets. They might include a small portable teapot, maybe some cups, an infuser, all designed to nest together neatly.
Easy to pack.
Designed to be lightweight, easy to carry, often quite robust too, to handle being knocked around a bit. They ensure you don't have to compromise on a quality brew just because you're not at home.
So you can have good tea anywhere.
Whether you're traveling, hiking, or just want a better cup at the office than the tea bag offers.
That's fantastic. But the newest frontier, I guess, has to be smart tea brewing devices. This is where tech really takes over, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of control do they offer?
Indeed. Smart tea brewers, they're adding a whole new dimension. They often have Bluetooth connectivity, customizable brewing profiles.
Via an app.
Usually via a dedicated app on your smartphone. So you can set precise brewing parameters remotely. Temperature, steep time.
Right.
You can schedule brews, monitor them in real time. You can literally achieve a perfect brew with just a few taps on your phone, maybe even from another room.
It's like merging that ancient ritual with 21st century convenience.
That's a good way to put it.
It's incredible how these modern innovations, they enhance both the function and the convenience, don't they? Elevating the whole experience for everyone, really. From serious aficionados to just casual drinkers, just in different ways than the traditional tools.
They definitely make it easier than ever to enjoy a perfectly brewed cup. Precisely tailored to your own taste and, well, your lifestyle.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, it feels really clear that tea brewing utensils from those ancient traditions right up to the latest smart gadgets, they play this vital, really dynamic role.
Mm.
Shaping the art, the experience of drinking tea, they reflect both tradition and innovation, don't they?
Absolutely. Each contributes uniquely to the ritualistic side and the sensory pleasures of tea.
Whether you find yourself drawn to the, I don't know, the elegant simplicity of a traditional gaiwan or maybe the precise convenience of a smart kettle.
Yeah, these tools, whatever they are, they invite a deeper appreciation, a better understanding of this timeless drink.
And that brings us to our final thought for you, our listener. How do the tools you choose for your own tea ritual, whatever it might be, how do they deepen your appreciation of tea's rich history, its cultural significance, and, well, its endless sensory delights?